Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Yud Chet of Sefer Melachim. The Perek is going to also is well known, much of it, because it is a haftarah. For Parshat Ki Tisa tells the story of Har HaKarmel, the fascinating event where Eliyahu publicly violates the Torah, and yet we account it and assume that it was perfectly acceptable and perfectly appropriate, as we will see as the Perek continues. So Pasuk Aleph says, Vahi Yamim Rabim, ודבר השם היה אל אליהו בשנה השלישית לאמור, לך היראה אל אחאב ואתנה מטר אל פני האדמה. Hashem says, go appear to Achav and let me give rain on the land. Now in a previous discussion, I assume that Hashem has just decided it's time to give rain because the Jews have had enough. Radak, however, assumes, and this will come up later in the parak as well, Radak assumes that no, that the lack of rain had led, in fact, many people to repent and return to Hashem, and that is that for that reason that Hashem is willing to bring the rain. Now, we're going to see that when Eliyahu challenges the people to declare in favor of Hashem, there's not a sizable group of people who do so. Could be that the Radak would claim they didn't show up at Har HaKarmel because they already knew that Hashem was right. They didn't feel the need to. It's not clear. But the Radak assumes that there was a sizable group of people who had already repented, and that is why Hashem has changed the situation. Just by the way, if you follow Chazal about the whole idea that Eliyahu is the one who has control, and Hashem has to wrest control from him by confronting him with the issue of Tchiyat HaMetim, as we saw in Perek Yud Zayin, if that's your perspective, and that Eliyahu didn't want to make the rain come, and Hashem did want to make the rain come, then the Radak's reading, if he were going to accept that version in Chazal, would mean that there was a dispute of sorts between Eliyahu and Hashem as to at what point of tshuva you, or what numbers of people have repented, do you then go back on whatever punishment it is you're administering. So that would be the tension between Hashem and Eliyahu in that reading. So, Vayelech Eliyahu lehiraot el achav, he goes to show himself to Achav, and there is a strong famine in Shomron. And Achav calls Ovadyahu, who is his like house servant, who is in charge of the house, and the pasuk pauses to tell us that Ovadyahu was Yareat Hashem Od, was very much a fearer of God. He was a righteous person who feared God. Chazal identified this Ovadyahu as the same Ovadya who is in Treyasar, who has a parak of Nevo on Treyasar. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Lamed Tet has a very interesting subtext to this discussion. The Gemara suggests that when Achav calls Ovadyahu, he says to him, you know, you can't be that righteous a person, because if you were a righteous person, then Hashem would bless me on your behalf. So, for example, with Yaakov, Lavan gets blessed on his behalf. With Yosef, the Potiphar's house gets blessed because of Yosef. And here, I'm not getting blessed, and here you are. So that, and then what the Gemara, therefore, in Sanhedrin says is that that's why the pasuk bears testimony that Ovadyahu ayah yareit Hashem me'od, that Ovadyahu was, in fact, very God-fearing. So that we want to verify Ovadyahu's bona fides, as it were, his standards and his qualifications, that's one thing. But it also has the Gemara reading into Achav, as I mentioned in the previous parak, this two-sidedness to him. He's aware of God, aware of service of God, aware of the ramifications of it, even as he's a tremendous idol worshiper. So he's calling Ovadyahu in and saying, why aren't we getting blessed? Implies a belief in a God, a belief that God has power, and a belief that those who serve God get certain rewards, and yet it doesn't impact on Achav himself at all. So now the pasuk pauses to tell us in pasuk Dalet what it is that Ovadyahu done that proved his worthiness as Yireh Hashem. Vahi b'achrit Izebel et Nevi'ei Hashem. Izebel had chosen to wipe out the Nevi'ei Hashem, to kill and persecute all those who were prophets to God. Worth remembering, we know it from Sefer Shmuel, we know it from later on in Melachim as well. There were in these times many Nevi'im. What the Navi means, what Tanakh means by a Navi is not so clear, but there were students of Nevi'im, there were people trying to be Nevi'im, all of those kinds of people Izebel chose to persecute. And in that time when she was doing that, Vayikach Ovadyahu me'an Nevi'im, Vayachbiem, he took 100 of them and he hid them in the cave, in a cave. Fifteen each cave, so they wouldn't be in one place in case they were discovered. And he provided them with the bread and the water to keep them alive. So that was obviously at risk to himself. That's what Ovadyahu did, and that's the proof of his being Yireyat Hashem. Vayomer Achav Ovadyahu, Lech Ba'aretz, El Kol Ma'yenei Hamayim El Kol HaNechalim, Ula Nitzach Chatzir, Unechayesus Vafered, Velo Nachrit Mehabehema. So he says, you know what, let's go and check all around the springs of water that there are in all of the rivers. Maybe we'll find some patches of grass and be able to save our horses and our donkeys and not be completely bereft of any animals. So this is a drought and a famine that is going extending lengthily, and we're reaching the point where there's not grazing land to keep animals alive. Animals take a lot of grazing land, and you don't have it, so he's looking for it. So they divide up the land to pass through looking for grass and things like that. They each go on their own, in their own ways, in their own paths. And Ovadyahu is on the road. Ovadyahu is on the road, and he sees Eliyahu in his way, and he sees him, and he falls on his face in respect, and he says, "Is that you, my master Eliyahu?" He says, "Yeah, it's me." Lechem al adonecha hine Eliyahu. Go tell your master Achav, Eliyahu is here. So in pasuk tet, "Vayomer mecha tati ki atan otin l'avdecha b'yad Achav l'amiteini." The protest of Ovadyahu is going to be an interesting reflection of how the people of the time, even those who were God-fearers, how they experienced Eliyahu. Because he says to Eliyahu, this is an immediate reaction, what is my sin that you are now going to give me into the hands of Achav to be killed? How does that work? So Pasuk Yud, Chai Hashem Elokecha, Im Yesh Goyim Amlecha Shelo Shalach Adonai Sham Levakeshcha, Ve'amru Ayin, V'hishbira Et HaMamlecha Ve'et HaGoy Ki Lo Yimtzeka. He says, there's nobody, nowhere we haven't looked. My master, meaning Achav, sent to every nation on the earth, and he made them swear that they didn't know where you were, and they all said they didn't, and they couldn't find you. And Paz Gilam, Ata Omer Lech, Emor Ladonech, Hine Eliyahu, and now you're telling me to go to Achav, and say, here is Eliyahu. V'haya ani Elech Meitach, I'm going to leave you. V'ruach Hashem Yisa'acha al Asher Lo Eida, Uvat Yil Hagid Lachav, V'lo Yimtza'acha, V'haragani, V'vdacha Yireyat Hashem, Min Urai. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go to talk to Achav. And a spirit of God will take you to who knows where. And I'll come and I'll tell Achav. And then he'll look for you. He won't find you. He'll kill me in anger. And you need to know that it's unfair because I am Yarei Et Hashem Minu Urai. From my youth, I have been a God-fearer. The Gemara points out that might seem like... that might seem unseemly. So the Gemara in Nedarim says it's not true. When you come to a new neighborhood, you're allowed to tell people who you are, not with vanity, but who you are, just so that they can know the proper way to treat you. So if somebody is a Talmid Chacham of some sort, and therefore people around him have some kind of an obligation to treat him with certain kinds of respect, then the Gemara is saying it's appropriate for a person to let people know that. And the proof text is this, that Ovadyahu has the right to tell Eliyahu who he is, because maybe Eliyahu doesn't know what's going on. Eliyahu knows that he serves Achav. He doesn't know who he is. So in Pasuk Gimel, Halahu Gad Ladni, Asher Asiti Barog Yizevot Nevi Hashem, Vachbi Minevi Hashem Me'ayish, 50-50 Ish Bame'arav, Achal Kaleim, Lechem Amayim. I did that whole thing with the Nevi'im and saving them. Ve'atat Omer, Lechem Alanecha, Hine Eliyahu V'haragani. And now you say, go, say here's Eliyahu, and he's going to kill me. So this whole idea of he's going to kill me, this whole idea that Eliyahu is going to disappear. And remember, it's important to remember, this is a Yirei Hashem. It's or sort of like that woman that we saw in the previous parak, who says, now I know that you're in Shalokim, and V'Hashem B'Ficha Be'emet. Now I know that you speak the word of God in truth. So as I noted there, what's strange about that is that this is a God-fearing woman. This is not an idol worshiper, and yet it took that incident, it took that episode of Eliyahu bringing her son back to life for her to be completely convinced that he was in fact speaking in the name of God. And here you have Ovadyahu, and his reaction is that he assumes that some spirit will carry Eliyahu away to protect him. So it's not even like he thinks Eliyahu is setting him up. He thinks Eliyahu is just not being honest about what happens with Eliyahu. Now what happens with Eliyahu is that winds come and take Eliyahu places. Winds come and move him from place to place. So that seems to be part of the image. In other words, it's not so much that they are believing in a God who directs the universe and directs the world, and that's where Eliyahu receives his power from. It's sort of much more, I don't know if mystical is the right word, it's more, it's less directed than that. It's less humanly controlled than that. It's Eliyahu is carried around by forces that they don't understand. And so if he now goes to Ahab and says, here's Eliyahu, Eliyahu won't be there anymore. Not because Eliyahu doesn't want to be there anymore, but because that's the way Eliyahu works. He comes, he goes, we don't know where he is, we don't know what's happening. That is Ovadyahu's reaction and his impression. So he says, don't worry about it. I swear in God's name, who I stand before, that I will in fact appear to Ahab today. So Ovadyahu goes to Ahab and he tells him what's going on. So Ahab comes to meet Eliyahu. Vayhi kirot Ahab et Eliyahu. Vayomer Ahab elav, atahu zeh ocher Yisrael. So Ahab sees Eliyahu, he says, is that you, the uprooter of Israel, the one who's causing so many problems for the Jewish people? So whether or not the Radak is right that many Jews have repented, it's clear from Ahab's response or greeting that he has not repented, and he sees all these problems as really extending from Eliyahu. Atazeh ocher Yisrael. This is not the reaction of somebody who says to himself, well, it's my fault and it's our fault and it's because we're doing wrong. That's not what's going on here. He is clearly assuming and taking for granted that this is all from Eliyahu. Eliyahu is the one doing this. So Eliyahu replies appropriately. Vayomer lo acharti Yisrael ki imata uveit avicha ba'azovchem et mitzvot Hashem v'telech achri ha'be'alim. It's not me, it's you. It's all a function of your deciding to follow the Ba'alim, to follow idol worship. So that message, Eliyahu is going to say it again and again, and it's not going to penetrate nearly as much as we might have thought, as we'll see. And that's a prime challenge that Eliyahu faces. With all of the miracles that he can do, with all of the powers that he has, he's not able to get this point across. So in Pasuk Yutet, V'atash shalach kivot ilai et kol Yisrael ahar ha-kamel, that nevi'ei ha-ba'al arba me'ot v'chamishim, nevi'ei ha-ashira arba me'ot, ochlei shulchan izevel. So he says, so now gather the Jewish people to Har HaKarmel, and the prophets of Baal, the 450 that you have, and the prophets of Asherah, the 400 that you have, who eat at the table of Izevel. So the Radak notes that when they actually get together, the Pasuk mentions really only the Nevi'ei HaBaal. And the Radak suggests that's because these were the ones who ate at Izevel's house, so Izevel prevented them from going. She knew what was going to happen, or she knew something was going to happen that wouldn't be productive for her people. That's a striking claim of the Radak, because it again suggests that they were aware of the power of Eliyahu, and they recognized the power of Eliyahu, and even so, they chose to follow Baal, and to follow Asherah. Pasuk Chaf, Vayishlach Achav v'chol b'nei Yisrael, v'yikbotza l'nevi'im el har ha-karmel. So Achav sends the word out among the Jewish people, and he gathers the Nevi'im to har ha-karmel. Radak claims there was no need for him to gather the Jews because the Jews were instantly interested in coming to Har HaKarmel. They were sort of waiting for the opportunity to see somebody challenge the Nevi'ei HaBaal and to see who would win. Because they wanted to know what was going to happen. They wanted to know what was going to happen. So in the next pasuk, Eliyahu now comes up to them and makes the challenge clear to them. So in Pasuk Chav Aleph, Eliyahu says, "Veigash Eliyahu el kol ha'am v'yomer ad matay etem poskim al shtei ha'si'ipim im Hashem ha'elokim lechu acharav v'im ha'ba'al lechu acharav v'lenu ha'am oto davar." He comes to the people and he says to them, "Until when are you going to stand So a sipim could be extended to doorsteps or stand with two thoughts. Rashi has both options. If Hashem is God, follow God. And if Baal is God, follow God. And they don't answer him anything. So first of all, the Radak wonders about the question. What is Eliyahu asking? Yeah, of course they go after Baal. So the Radak plays back to what we had said before, that he thinks that the experience of the drought had led many of them to question their allegiance to the Baal. But b'mechilat kevodo, with all due respect to his opinion, I think it's plausible to say that they were honestly confused. The question of which of these two will you follow, was, I think, a foreign one to the Jews at this point. They didn't understand, they didn't see any reason why it should be that you have to choose. They follow Baal and they follow God. So what do you mean, choose? And so I don't answer anything to him. I think they're honestly confused, they don't understand the issue, they don't know. They certainly don't understand, I think, that you have to choose, and if you're going to choose, they don't know who to choose. So, Pazuk HaBed, V'yom Eliyahu El Ha'am, Ani Notarti Navi L'Hashem Levadi, I'm the only Navi L'Hashem here, U'Nevi'ei HaBaal, 450 Ish, there are 450 of the Nevi'ei HaBaal against me. Now he offers a competition between the two groups, and this, the Radak, interestingly, is of two minds as to whether Hashem had told him to do this to begin with, or if he thought of it on his own and assumed that Hashem would back him up and do what he asked for. And Radak actually leans toward the second one, because we see Eliyahu praying to Hashem for this to work out. We'll see that later in the parak, for this to work out the way he wants, which means that the Radak's assumption is that Eliyahu has reached a level and a stage where he has the ability to announce without prior authorization a miracle that is going to happen. And then Hashem will make the miracle happen, because that's the stage that he's reached. And that's what he seems to assume, which is fascinating to understand and to think about how people reach that level and just have the confidence to be able to say, this was going to happen. V'yitnu lanu shnayim parim, they're going to give us, in Pasuk Chav Gimel, let them give us two bulls. V'yivcharu lahem apar ha'echad, let them choose one of them. V'yinatku, and they'll cut it up. V'yasimu ala itzim, and they should put it on the wood. Ve'esh lo yisim v'no fire. V'aniyas et apar ha'achad v'natati la'itim esh lo yisim, and I'll also do my same thing with my bull on wood without a fire. V'kratem b'shem Eloheichem, and you'll call out the name of your idol, what you worship. V'aniyakra b'shem Hashem, and I'll call out the name of God. V'ayah ha'elokim ha'elohim or Elohim ha'shiyanev v'esh, the power that answers with fire. Who ha'elokim? That's the real God. Vayan kol ha'am vayamru tov ha'davar, and the people all answer and say, good, good choice, good composition, seems right. Pulling the fire down from the heavens seems like a trick that would only be doable by the powerful God. Vayam liyal l'nevi'ei ha'baal b'charu lachem apar echad v'asu rishona ki atem ha'rabim v'kiru b'shem Eloheichem v'esh lo tasimu. So this is, you go first, pick the ox first, because there are so many of you, and you try first. They take the bull that he gives them. So Rashi notes in the name of Chazal that it says that the bull that he gave them, even though he had made a big show of saying, you choose your bull. So Rashi quotes the tradition of Chazal that the bull was uninterested, was upset about being chosen for Baal, and therefore the bull ran away. Then Eliyahu went up to him and said to the bull that, you have to go with them. That's your role in life. And by doing this, you will also be making a Kiddush Hashem. So, obviously, there's an assumption that animals are sensitive and aware of these issues, of these kinds of things. That's one kind of an assumption to make. But also, it has the underlying idea that being part of helping the failure of falsehood is a support of Hashem akin to being part of helping the success of truth. Vayasu, so they make the bull, meaning they kill it and they cut it up. Vayikru v'shem ha'baal me'aboker v'atzarayim, from morning till noon. Le'mor ha'baal aneinu, saying, Baal, answer us. Vein kol ve'inoneh, there's no sound whatsoever. Vayifaschu al ha'mizbeach asher asa, and they make all sorts of movements on the altar that they had made. They dance, they jump around. They do all these kinds of worships that they are supposed to help them bring the fire down and get their Baal to answer them. So Eliyahu doesn't want to let the moment pass, right? The point of this whole incident is to make it as dramatic as possible and to produce as much of a reaction in the people as possible. So Vayivat Zaharayim, when it got to be noon, so they've been doing this for a while, Vayahatel Bahem Eliyahu. Eliyahu mocks them. Why does he mock them? The why is because he wants the people to hear him mocking them. So they understand it. And the mockery is, Vayomer Ki'u V'Kol Gadol. Call out in a loud voice, Ki Elohimu. He's a god. Ki Siach V'Chi Siglo. Maybe he's away somewhere. He's busy. He's got an appointment. V'Chi Derech Lo. He's on the road, maybe. La Yashen Hu V'Yikat. Maybe you have to wake him up from his nap. And the point of that sarcasm is to make clear the silliness of their belief, meaning they are being poseach roundabout in the ways and this and this and this. Now, they're always saying if he's God, he should just be able to hear it. So that's a little unfair, the truth is, of Eliyahu, although the people are not sophisticated enough to catch him on it, because we too believe that in the ordinary case, there are forms of worship which God prefers and which God is more likely to answer, and forms that are God are less likely, is less likely to answer. That's not because God doesn't hear or God is asleep or any of those things. It's because God sets rules for how we're supposed to worship him. So if we were to, you know, offer the wrong kinds of sacrifices and not get a response, we wouldn't say it's because God is sleeping. God forbid, we would say it's because we didn't do it right. So here too, his mocking them, so they're not getting it done right, that's true, but his mocking them carried with it a little bit of an unfair portrayal of their position. In any case though, since it's true that they are worshiping a false god, our main issue. So Pasuk Chavchet, Vayikru B'Kol Gadol, Vayikru Duduka Mishpatam, they cut themselves, as was their wont, B'Charavot, V'Varim Achim, Ad Shvok Dam Aleihem, until there was blood spilled. This is part of their ritual as well. It's part of, I think, what we would claim shows their rituals are false, because God doesn't want such things. Vayikru Avar Tzaraim, Vayikru Ad Lota Mincha. So they go doing this, getting to these trances and these semi-prophetic things that they seem to be, and they do it all the way until the Mincha time, Vein Kol Veino Nevein Kasha, and there's nothing, there's no sound, there's no nothing. Vayomer Eliyahu L'chol Ha'am Gishu Elai, so they always wait enough, so he says to the people, come to me, Vayigshu Chol Ha'am Elav, so they all come and they turn to him, Vayirapei Mizbach Hashem Heharus, and he repairs the broken or destroyed Mizbach Hashem. So what this is a reference to is unclear. Rashi seems to think that he built the Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach that he built is to remind them that they're supposed to be remembering God, and they're all supposed to be thinking about God, and it was that was Harus, that was destroyed. Because they had stopped worshipping God, so they had forgotten about God. So when it says Mizbeach Hashem Harus, it doesn't mean the Mizbeach was Harus, it means Hashem and the concept of Hashem was Harus. So Rashi quotes that as the Pshat. And then as the Midrash, Rashi mentions, as the Midrash that Shaul had built a Mizbeach, an altar on Har HaKarmel, and that the kings of the northern kingdom had destroyed that altar, had broken it apart, because it was a reminder of the southern kingdom. So if you read it that way, then it's really Mizbeach Hashem HaHarus. He's rebuilding, he's coming back to the torn down traditions of the Jewish people. And he's doing it in a place where their attachment to the northern kingdom has specifically led them to knock down this Mizbeach. And then Pasuk Lamed Aleph is also another example of Eliyahu reminding them of their past. Vayikach Eliyahu 12 avanim kimispar shivtei v'nei Yisrael asher yadvar Hashem elav lemor Yisrael yeshemech. He takes 12 stones. And the Pasuk makes the connection. We don't have to make the connection. It's not like we have to, you know, come up with some novel idea to understand it. Pasuk tells us it's meant to remind them that there are 12 tribes of the Jewish people. So the Radak says it's either because that merit will lead to this miracle happening, or, and I think this is perhaps more likely, to remind them that there were 12 tribes who were supposed to be combined in the service of God, and they've split now, but whatever the split was, they need to remember their past and remember that it's the 12 tribes together made them into Yisrael and got their forefather Jacob to have the name Yisrael Shemecha. And what did he get the name Yisrael for? He got the name Yisrael for serving Hashem. And it was in Beit El that it had happened, where now they have an eagle instead. So he's bringing them back to the very basic fundamental issues of their past to remind them that they're supposed to know who God is, and they're supposed to know who they're supposed to be worshiping. So Pasuk Lamed Bet, Vayivne et ha'avanim mizbech b'shem Hashem. So he builds them up now to be a mizbech for Hashem. Vayas te'ala kevetz atayim zera saviv lemizbech. He makes this big trench around the mizbech, and he arranges vayerochad etzim, and he arranges the wood, and he cuts up the bowl vayinatech vayinatach et hapar vayasim alaytzim. He puts it on the wood. Vayomer milu arba achadim mayim. He says, fill up four jugs of water. Vitzku al ha'olam alaytzim, and pour it on the animal and on the wood. Vayomer shnu vayishnu vayomer shaleishu vayishleishu. Does this three times. He's pouring lots of water. Remember, it's a drought season, so it's not like they have so much water. And he's putting more and more water on it. He's drenching it. And the point of the drenching, as Radak points out, the point of the drenching is very simply to say that the fire is going to be so hot and the fire is going to burn so fully that it can even burn up a completely drenched, it can ignite drenched wood and it can burn up a drenched animal. The water was so full it went all around the Mizbeach and it filled up the trench around it as well. It came at mincha time. It is because of this that the word brachot says, make sure to be serious and careful about davening mincha, because this is when Eliyahu was answered. So probably the time of mincha is seen as a propitious time for being answered by Hashem. So vaygash Eliyahu Navi vayomar, he comes now, goes steps forward towards Hashem, and he davens. So this prayer is what leads Radak to assume that he did not have prior authorization for this miracle. Possibly. The other possibility is that he did have prior authorization, and you still need prayer to get it to happen. But one way or the other, he's praying, and he says, Hashem Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak v'Yisrael, Hayom Yivada Ki Ata Elokim b'Yisrael v'ani avdecha u'bidvarcha asiti kol hadvarim ha'ila. This day it will be known that you are the God of the Jewish people, and that I am your servant. And so he addresses Hashem as the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, as the pasuk earlier had said when he built the mizbeach that it was Yisrael, and by answering me, by doing what I want here, everyone will know that it's in your name and by your word that I've done these things. So following that Radak, by your word either means on your behalf, or it means that you actually told me to do it. But whichever it is, he's saying, if you bring the fire down, this will prove to everybody. Now, there's an interesting Gemara in Shabbat on Nun Hei Omid Aleph, which says, Me'ematai tama zechut avot. At what point in Jewish history did zechut avot get completely used up? Now, we in our Yom Kippur prayers don't follow this Gemara. We assume it never got used up because we invoke it all the time. But this Gemara seems to assume that no, it got used up at some point. Now we're primarily on our own. So Rav suggests it was the time of Hoshea ben Be'eri because of a pasuk. And Shmuel says it was the time of Chazael because in Malachim Bet it says Chazael pressured the Jewish people, and then it says Vaychan Hashem Otam Vayrachameim Leman Berito at Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, because of his covenant with Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So that's later than this. So that would seem to be at least certainly true that this couldn't be a point. But nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon Levi says Mimei Eliyahu Shenemar Vayi Ba'alot Amincha Vayomer Hashem Elokei. It quotes our pasuk that this will prove that there's an Elokim b'Israel. Now it's not clear in that Gemara, meaning once you have the later pasuk, then the earlier pasuk should certainly not be the time when they ran out of zechut avot, because then how can later people be invoking zechut avot? So the term zechut avot in each situation might be a different zechut avot. But what I think Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is suggesting is that that element of our zechut avot that is comes from them having declared monotheism in the world was used up at this point. And it was used up at this point because in the name of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, Avraham Yitzchak and Yisrael, Hashem is going to reprove his existence and his power in the world. So once that's true, we can no longer rely on their merits, because their merits are gone, because we lost our faith in that. They came to believe in monotheism without this absolute ironclad proof. We could rely on that zchut for a long time, except that now Eliyahu invokes that merit and says, and now let's give them an absolute proof. Once we had that, then we lost at least that element of the merit. So how the Gemara reads in the rest of the situations is, I think, for different aspects. And you'd have to take each of the things in that Gemara as different elements of the zechut avot that we have. But here, the zechut avot of them discovering monotheism, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is saying, we lost at this point, because here now we had firm proof of this situation. So Eliyahu says in Lamed Zayin, Aneni Hashem Aneni v'yidu ha'amazeh ki ata Hashem ha'elokim v'ata ha'sibot et libam ha'choranit. Please answer me, or just answer me, and they should know that you are Elokim, you are the God, and that you turn their hearts around. the Gemara in Brachot notes in Lamed Aleph and Bet notes that Eliyahu here allows himself to speak to God in a way that is surprising. We wouldn't have imagined that he would be so harsh with a God. They'd say that God gave them the opportunity to sin, and therefore it's as if God had turned their hearts around. Whatever it is, and for whatever reason it is, Hashem chooses to answer Eliyahu in a positive fashion. V'tipol eish Hashem v'tochal et ha'ola v'et ha'itzim v'et ha'avanim v'et ha'afar v'et ha'mayim asher v'ta'ala l'ichecha. It eats up everything, right? It eats the animal and the wood and the stones and the dirt and the water and the water in the trenches as well. So the people are convinced by this, and they say, oh, God is God. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, which we always echo at the end of Yom Kippur, because that's supposed to be a reminder for us. We're supposed to, by the end of Yom Kippur, have re-achieved a full belief in the monotheism in God. So catch the Nevi'i Habal, Ish al Yimalit Mehem, don't let any of them escape, but you presume they do. He takes him to Nachal Kishon, and he slaughters him there. So Achav is watching this. Achav lets it happen, doesn't resist. Now it could be he couldn't resist because the mob was so powerful, but he doesn't seem to resist. But he also doesn't seem angry with Eliyahu. We're going to find Izevel in the next parak will be angry with Eliyahu. But Achav doesn't. He just listens to Eliyahu, says, go up and eat quickly, ki kol hamon gahagashem, because the rain is coming. So he goes up to eat and drink. So he goes up the mountain, and he sits down to the ground. He sits down on the earth. And he puts his face between his knees, praying that the rain should come. So Mem Gimel, so he says to his boy, go look out towards the sea. And he looks out. He says, Vayomer, and he says nothing there. Vayomer Shuv Sheva Pim. He says, go look and come back, and go look seven times. There's a small little crowd, a little cloud like the finger of a man coming up from the sea. So he says to the boy, so all there is a small little cloud and says, go tell Achav right away, get into your chariot so you don't get caught in the rain. So while this is going on, while he's telling him this, all of a sudden the sky is getting full of clouds and wind. And there's a lot of rain, and Achav goes, and he goes to Yisrael. So this is where the traditional text has a break. Now this is the end of the story, that Achav leaves and goes to Yisrael, and the water has been brought, and the point has been made. And then in our parak, we have Pasuk Mem Vav as well. The Spirit of God was on Eliyahu, and he lifts up his skirts, he girds his loins, and he runs the whole way in front of Achav to Yisrael. And this is taken by the Mefarshim to be an example of Eliyahu expressing his kavod hamelech, expressing honor for the king, which is an interesting thing to watch Chazal be claiming that Eliyahu was doing, because after all, this is Achav who is the symbol of evil. So there's this balance that Eliyahu has to achieve between rebuking Achav and being upset with Achav and punishing Achav and then expressing kavod and honor for him. And that's what's going on here in this last thing. And I think it connects to the next parak, which we will continue with tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye.